Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
Well, Nate, a pretty eventful SmackDown tonight, I would say. But the big story, I think, is Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns face to face. I thought they had a pretty paint by numbers segment. After seeing what Drew McIntyre and Kevin Owens pulled off on Monday Night Raw this week, I think I had some high expectations for what this showdown, this face-to-face between McIntyre and Reigns was going to be tonight. And to be frank, I don't think it reached those expectations that I had, but I thought the segment was good nonetheless, from getting to A to B and getting that match a little bit hotter 2 weeks out. What did you think?
Pretty much hit the nail on the head. There were a lot of shades of there were a couple shades of like what Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre were able to pull off. But you're right. It kind of failed in comparison. If you were looking to compare them, which I think, you know, you kind of do end up drawing those comparisons. I believe Monday was a little bit better, but it still wasn't bad. But at the same time, it really kind of was. I hate to use the term paint by numbers, because that's what you just said, but it really that's what it was. We kind of see these segments between challenger and champion quite often. So it really wasn't anything new and exciting, but at the same time, I think, you know, they still kind of pulled it off and made it entertaining.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't know that the segment struck the right tone for me as far as like what the real story is here. You know, to me, it's like, I don't know that you want to be out there, if you're Drew McIntyre, like doubting the position that Roman Reigns has in the company and saying he's not deserving of the championship when, I mean, he's held the darn thing for 700 plus days. He's wrestled and beat all comers, you know, and yes, like he's had help and that's all part of it. But to me, like, the story here should be, hey, I'm Drew McIntyre. I'm coming for the head of the table. Like, and it's not because he's undeserving, but it's because he's the best and because I want to be the best. And so I think, you know, you kind of, Drew came across a little weak here, kind of speaking just obvious things that aren't true as far as the Roman Reigns title reign. I mean, you could tell by the reaction in the crowd that's not what they're thinking, you know, that's not their opinion. And so you're kind of out there, Drew's spinning this narrative that is not really true, not really believable. And I don't think it paints him in the best light to get, you know, big time cheers. And then on the flip side, you know, you have Roman Reigns, who's out there and just totally talking truth. You know, I mean, he is all of the things that he says that he is. And I think, you know, that can be a heel type, you know, type verbiage, but it can also be babyface type verbiage if you don't have the proper kind of weight on the other side of the coin to anchor it in a certain direction. So I just thought it just missed in that regard.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you. Really, it's like Drew McIntyre. You know, clearly he's a great promo. I mean, you know, he obviously showed us that here tonight, but you know, Monday as well as, you know, countless other times. But now that, like, the Vince McMahon reins have kind of been pulled back, and these guys are allowed to go out there and, you know, say the word wrestler and wrestling and actually, you know, put like their stamp on these promos. You know, let him tell a bit of a different story. Like you said, you know, a lot of the stuff he was saying tonight wasn't necessarily based in truth. Let him go out and say truths. Let him go, like you were talking about, Leo, you know, I'm here to beat the best. Roman Reigns has been the champion for 700 plus days. I'm here to, you know, conquer him, take him down, bring one of these titles home, bring both these titles home, something like that, you know? I think it would have got the fans behind him a bit more. Not that they weren't, but I mean, but maybe with the exception of Sami Zayn tonight, which he got an amazing reaction, but Roman Reigns, his reaction, even though based as a heel, his reaction is massive. He's been getting massive reactions for quite some time now. So it's in contrast, the little, you're not getting that babyface reaction for Drew McIntyre, whereas like Roman Reigns, technically heel, but he's kind of hit that cool heel level here at this point where they're just going nuts for him. So yeah, I'm with you. Which, you know, I think it's a bit of a different booking situation. Could have got the fans behind McIntyre a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as, you know, the just the idea of this match, I mean, there's a lot at stake, and I guess, you know, as we break it down here, you know, look, we're 13 minutes out, so, you know, hasn't digested fully. But another thing at play, I suppose, could be if they're not going to put Drew McIntyre over, you know, if they're not going to have him beat Roman Reigns, right? If he's going to go into this match and he's going to do the job, he's going to lose. You know, maybe the thought process is, well, okay, we don't want Drew to put it all on the line in a promo and then not deliver, because that could hurt him too. So it's a bit of a conundrum that I don't know that we can fully, you know, bake out until a couple weeks from now when we get that match. All that said, when they walk out and have the match, you know, on the show in 2 weeks, I mean, it's going to feel like a big time. It's going to feel like a big time match. And I think at the very least, that's, you know, a box that WWE can check in terms of how they book this.
100%. It's going to be a big deal no matter what.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll get more into Roman Reigns. I'm sure we'll get more into Drew McIntyre. Definitely want to talk a lot about Sami Zayn and what I thought was a really good fatal five-way match to crown a number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. Could talk Ronda Rousey too. We got, you know, a lot of stuff to get to, and we will get to it all. But we'll pause right now, set the table for the show, and then start running through some calls. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show covering the August 19th, 2022 edition of WWE SmackDown. I'm PW Torch assistant editor Zach Haydorn, back filling in for Wade tonight. It's good to be back. I haven't had the opportunity to jump in a while, so I'm glad to be here. Wade will be around on the VIP side of things with the Wade Keller Hotline, as usual, and you can go VIP if you're not VIP already, pwtorch.com/goVIP to check out that Wade Keller Hotline every single day, as well as a host of other really, really cool podcasts covering a wide array of topics and companies and promotions, wrestling styles, I mean, you name it. We've got it covered for VIP members. Give us a shot, pwtorch.com/goVIP. The other voice you hear tonight is pwtorch.com contributor Nate Lindberg. Nate, always a pleasure, my friend. Welcome on into the show. How you doing?
Hey, not doing bad. Appreciate you reaching out and seeing if I wanted to join you for SmackDown tonight. It's a pleasure.
It sure is, man. A pleasure's all mine. I'm glad you could do it. I always love having you on the show because we can, you know, get into maybe a smidge of NXT as well.
Absolutely,
you are a big contributor and you cover, you know, that show top to bottom regularly. And I think, you know, it's undergoing potentially some changes with Triple H at the helm of everything again. So we'll get into that, and we'll get into all that you do at the Torch and the Daily Cast show that you guys have. More to come on that. But in the meantime, we will open up the phone lines, 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. Press 1 if you want to get on the show and talk to us tonight. If you don't want to talk but you want to contribute, send us an email, wadekellerpodcast wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. That's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. We'll get to some emails as the show goes on here. But let's go ahead and take some calls here, Nate. We'll start with 443. 443. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hey, it's Kyle from Baltimore. How you doing?
Good, Kyle. Great to hear from you, man. Good to talk to you. What did you think of SmackDown?
I agree. It's one of the best SmackDowns I've seen like all year. Real fast, I was going to bring this up first, but you just got me wanted to bring it up now about Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre and how, you know, you said that with having what Drew said wasn't a good thing for what he said, but what he said was true. Roman Reigns he's not around. He doesn't want to show up to SmackDown and Raw, who he is a double champion. Now I keep going back to Becky Lynch because this is just the best comparison to go on. But you know, Becky Lynch was a double champion. People were complaining. I see people were complaining at least on this phone call that they didn't like the fact that she's a double champion. She's on both shows over and over and over again. She was being overexposed, but only lasting a month. With Roman Reigns, he's not around at all. So I guess I think it's even worse when the champion's not around. And I think good thing for Raw that they have credible top names in Rollins and Cody Rhodes when he was there and Kevin Owens. They have some top names on Raw that they drafted, so they're kind of set there. But they still need a world champion at some point. I mean, I don't know how long that could last for. So it's all well and good that Roman Reigns wants to take some time off, but as a double champion, it's just not. I don't know. I don't know how long that he can sustain this situation. So that's just how I personally feel about it. But that's me, I guess.
Well, you know, I my guess is that there's a lot of people that feel like you, Kyle and Nate. I guess where I stand on this is, you know, I don't need my world champion to be on the show every single week. You know, I think in this day and age in pro wrestling and with what draws the money, like you have as a company, you have to have some big cards to play in order to drive ratings and to drive numbers. And so that to me, that means, you know, you don't want to feature, you know, your guys every week, every month necessarily. And I think if you can create a situation where there's other championships on your shows, like the IC title on SmackDown right now, that can carry like the week-to-week grind of the chase that these wrestlers are on, then your world champion very much stands out and stands heads above the rest of the acts in the company. And that, to me, is a good thing, whether it's Roman Reigns or whether it's Cody Rhodes down the road or whether it's Seth Rollins down the road, what have you. But I like the idea of making that person really, really special. And yes, it takes kind of, it takes good booking all around him and good booking with the secondary titles. But if you could do it, you really do have something there, I think, Nate. So where do you stand on this Roman Reigns not around argument? Are you going to break the tie?
Break the tie,
but be the voice of reason one way or the other.
So okay, and it might sound like a bit of a cop out answer because I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm somewhere in the middle between you guys because I am like I hear what you're saying. Like you know, build a champion that's almost like that S tier level, right? Super like the super super tier level, like Brock Lesnar, Undertaker used to be. Nobody's going to beat these guys. Hulk Hogan was at one point. John Cena, you know, something like that, where you know you don't have them show up all the time, and they do seem special. So when they show up, it's you know it's a big deal. You know you can pop a rating or whatever, and as long as you're booking, like you said, the undercard titles in a way, in a meaningful way, like sure, go for it. But on the flip side, right? I feel like for the majority of like the 2010s and so far in the 2020s, you've had your world titles kind of just in either Roman Reigns' hand or Brock Lesnar's hand for like a long period of time, right? I mean, Brock Lesnar had it was the Universal title. Actually, it was both WWE and Universal titles, not together, but like long periods of time where they were just tied up away from those shows. And it kind of, I don't know, it almost felt like everything was in limbo because you knew the main card, the main title was going to be just Brock Lesnar and, you know, whoever's facing Brock Lesnar, you know, in this case, Roman Reigns, whoever's facing Roman Reigns. So it's, I kind of would like them to either get rid of the Undisputed title and just have one title, like one title as your overall main WWE Universal Champion, whatever you want to call it, to kind of like reside over both brands. And then they can kind of, you know, have back and forth, either, you know, a story on Raw, a story on SmackDown, you know, the following month or following couple months or something like that. But right now where it's still two titles, I feel like he's almost holding a monopoly on these titles. And it's the main event, kind of like what Kyle's saying, the main event is like almost stagnant right now. They've got nothing to fight for other than, you know, I guess main event TV time, but not necessarily for a title. So I'm torn. Yeah. I don't know which way I really want them to go, but I want them to kind of like pick one and go that way. You know what I mean?
I do. And I think it's interesting. So Kyle, I'm really glad you brought this up because, you know, I think where you fall on this could determine kind of what you thought of the stare down tonight and the promo segment with Drew and Roman. Because if you're like, Kyle, you know, you're saying to yourself, great, this is awesome. You know, Drew, he's right. I'm on his side. And then if you're on my side of the house, you're like, yeah, but like, Roman is a really big star. So I'll be really interested to hear from other callers tonight as to where they fall on that, Kyle, because I think it very much will indicate kind of what they thought of the promo. But Kyle, toss back to you if you want to, you know, comment on this again or bring up something else.
I mean, because I've been talking about this for a while. I've been talking about this for a while. I actually heard there's like one other podcaster who kind of feels the same as me was much before, saying that they liked the fact that Roman Reigns was the Universal Champion, but then him being the double champion, it just didn't work. He's not around. It started to so they even had their pros and cons to this as well. So it's been a whole problem, at least for me, that I felt like since he was a double champion, but whatever, it is what it is. I wanted to move on to the women's tag team title situation. Now, I was beyond shocked that they canceled one NXT team for Toxic Attraction. I was kind of glad that they did because I really thought they would have been in this tournament from the very beginning. I don't know why they decided to do promotage Zoe Stark and the Kid Elias, who does a random tag team, which they had Toxic Attraction, who was already a main team on NXT, as mainly all these teams are kind of makeshift tag teams. And now I completely have no idea who's going to win these titles because my going into this, I had Io Sky and Dakota Kai all the way. Now, because I do think Io and Dakota will face Toxic Attraction, and then from that, I don't know who will win. So I really hope that's the match that they'll do, because this is where I get really more invested to this tournament now that there's at least two teams I can see walking out as the tag team champions. What do you think about that dynamic of tonight and them bringing Toxic Attraction up to SmackDown, at least for this match anyway?
Good topic. So generally speaking, I just want to give a kind of a high level comment. I've liked what they've done so far with the women's tag tournament. I think that they've given time to these matches, which is really important in helping kind of reestablish these titles that have just been completely neutralized and don't mean anything. And so, you know, changing that perception doesn't happen overnight, but it happens with little, you know, baby steps. And one of those baby steps is, you know, give these matches time, make them feel like just super competitive matches with the women fighting for something really, really important. I think that has come across in all of the matches so far. I'm going to throw to you in a second about NXT and the fact that Toxic Attraction is now in this tournament and won their match tonight. I was shocked that they weren't included in the tournament right out of the gate, Nate, if they're going to have an NXT team participate. However, you know, it may be one of those things where you don't want to throw out like a top NXT act if they're not going to be like a regular attraction on the brand that they're going to debut on, because like Toxic Attraction clearly I think has value to WWE at this point on the main roster. And so if there's big plans for them, you know, you don't want them to come out and, you know, and lose this match right away and just have that type of, you know, stink on them as a new act. So there's the argument for not including them in. But now that they're there, Nate, like, they are in a little bit of a booking conundrum. You've got like kind of like the two teams that I would argue need to win the most are both heel teams. You know, if you've got them facing off against one another in Io Sky and Dakota Kai against Toxic Attraction, that I think there's a, you know, you're butting heads there in terms of importance. So it adds a layer of intrigue with Toxic Attraction involved, but I also think it complicates booking a little bit too. You are the NXT guy, so go ahead and take this.
All right. So I was super surprised the Toxic Attraction wasn't involved with this at first. And then we kind of started talking about it and thinking about it a little bit more on PWT Talks NXT on the PW Torch Daily Cast lineup. Exactly. Get that plug in there. But we started talking a little bit about it, you know, or actually a lot of it about it on PWT Talks NXT. Like Toxic Attraction, they still have there's not that whole, like a whole heck of a lot for them left to do down in NXT. You know, they're not the NXT Tag Team Champions right now. Mandy Rose, you know, she's kind of gone through just about every challenger there is down there, with maybe the exception of Nikita Lyons. So it's like a call up for all three of them kind of seems like it's in the cards. It kind of seems like it's something that's that should probably happen at some point, because I'm kind of not sure what is left for them down in NXT unless some of this NXT UK shuffling around, you know, which we'll probably wind up getting into a little bit later, perhaps, you know, some of this shuffling around, you know, create some new opponents or whatever for her. But I know we're not necessarily talking about Mandy Rose, kind of focusing more on the tag team here with Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. But that's kind of where I feel like the three of them belong at this point, is on the main roster. It would put a little bit of a void down in NXT, but I feel like that's kind of what NXT is. I mean, it's a revolving door. It's developmental, so you can kind of get these acts up on the main roster. And I feel like it's almost time for them to do so. I'm not sure if this is going to be like the permanent call up for Dolan and Jane at this point, but it certainly does create some booking, like some crazy booking stuff down in NXT here, because, you know, first you're just kind of thinking, all right, it's Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark. They're going to be the ones going up. And that's what we've been kind of thinking about. Now you've got one of your main tag teams, one of your main factions, even, you know, kind of in that limbo. Are they getting called up or aren't they? You know, it kind of almost reminds me of when Gargano and Ciampa back in was like, yeah. I want to say it was 2018, 2019. They had a bit of a soft call up. Adam Rose too, or not Adam Rose. Wow. Adam Cole.
Adam Cole.
Adam Cole too. Yeah, I think he was, I want to say he was North American champion at the time. He might have been NXT champion. I don't remember. But I remember him having a belt around his waist. What's up?
It was the NXT champion. It was 2019 during the invasion, during the Survivor Series, NXT versus Raw SmackDown. That's what it was.
Yep. Yeah, I knew it was Survivor Series. I just couldn't remember if he was a North American or NXT champion. But it kind of reminds me of that. You know, is this going to be just, you know, a cameo appearance on the main roster, or is it going to be an actual call up for him? That's what I'm kind of curious to see. It's especially with Dolan and Jane winning tonight. Like I'm pleasantly surprised, because I like Toxic Attraction, want to see them succeed, and you know, kind of they're my girls down in NXT. seeing them versus Io Sky and Dakota Kai would be phenomenal. I'd be all over that, but it does create that heel-heel dynamic. So that's, but I still think they could get around that. The four of them are talented enough where they could get around that. But yeah, I don't know if I've necessarily like answered anything or whatever, but talking about all of this, there's just so many different variables, and the biggest variable
and
is
EO and Dakota are part of the six woman tag at Clash of the Castle that they're focusing on too. So that's another thing that they're kind
that's
of focusing on, and they don't
right.
and they had never announced when this match is happening. This tag team title match is happening. I thought at one point it's going to be at Clash of the Castle, but since they thrown in this six-woman tag match, I was like, okay, well, maybe not, or maybe they'll do two matches in the same night, or maybe not, or maybe on a Raw or a SmackDown at some point, I'm guessing, maybe after the pay-per-view. So maybe that's maybe that's the thing. That's when this match is actually happening. So that's the other thing. Like,
I think the good news here is, you know, Toxic Attraction looked like they belonged on the main roster tonight. I mean, I didn't sense any kind of drop off or any kind of, like they looked like they belong there. And so, you know, seeing that, it makes me like think like, okay, you brought them up, like now you got to treat them as a big deal. And so if that means giving them the win, then that's what it means. You know, they have value as a main roster act. And so I just think, you know, when you have that, you know, you want to start with them on the main roster in a meaningful way, in a big way. And, and I think, you know, you can do that here with this win. And then also, you know, if Sasha Banks and Naomi are going to come back, like that's a ready-made feud right there. You know, the returning Sasha Banks and Naomi and the, you know, kind of like the young upstart Toxic Attraction, like that story writes itself. So there's a lot at play, Kyle. But again, the good news is that they looked every bit the part tonight. And so, you know, it's going to make things really interesting moving forward in the tournament. Kyle, what else tonight? Anything else before we get to another
show? Last I'll mention is Liv Morgan and Shayna Baszler in this, and like this match that Liv decided to have with Shotzi, just really whatever. I don't know why they decided to do that. I'm kind of glad now that the brace is gone. I was complaining for weeks about this brace that Liv is having. It's really annoying. It was because watching that, it was like I was thinking back to, you know, it's kind of reminding me of first Becky has her legit arm injury, and now Liv has played up this arm injury. It's like, why? This is, don't do that. Liv Morgan should not be treated like a joke. I think that's the other problem. That's like the main problem I have, that since really Money in the Bank, Liv Morgan has been in fluky ways winning matches. Go back. I want to go back to the time when she faced Becky Lynch beginning of the year. Had a great match there. Had a great mini feud with Rhea Ripley. She can wrestle. She can have good matches when they give her a chance to. Don't have her have fluky wins. And I know that Shayna is a legit athlete, and it's kind of unrealistic to see Liv Morgan to defeat Shayna Baszler. But I think it might happen, and because she needs to have some more credibility. She's recently become champion, so first full month being champion. So have her just keep being champion for a while anyway. I don't know. That's how I view it. I know that Shayna is someone who's been has been kind of not been doing some doing good work since she came up to the main roster ever since she faced Becky. But it just, I don't know. For me, it seems like it's kind of a weird thing. Liv should be champion still, but they also need to have her be credible enough. But that, I guess it's hard because she hasn't seemed credible since she debuted. She's been treated like a joke since she debuted. So I can see why it's hard for people to take Liv Morgan seriously because of the past, how she was in the past, to compare how she is now. So what do you think about that whole dynamic?
Liv Morgan has had a bit of a rough go since SummerSlam. I maintain that the way that they booked her in that match really hurts her momentum. You know, in terms of trying to be this kind of this sympathetic underdog babyface, you know, and you just can't pull that off when you've got the babyface, you know, clearly, you know, not being above board about their win, and then the heel being right and looking way cooler, you know, in terms of like Ronda Rousey and Ronda Rousey beating up referees and security guards. Like, it just hasn't been a smooth run for Liv at this point. Tonight though, Nate, it wasn't great, but I think it was a night for Liv Morgan that stopped the free fall a little bit. You know, she was able to kind of cut a decent promo on Shotzi. She went out there, talked like a babyface, talked like she was going to, you know, wanted to just win a match to get back on track as champion, be a, you know, a fighting champion. And then, you know, you have her coming across very sympathetic in the ring with Baszler, and Baszler threatening to break her arm. So I, you know, it's a low bar to clear because I think she's just had such a rough go. But with that said, I think this tonight helped her from a nuts and bolts perspective to try to start piecing this thing back together. Where are you at on Liv Morgan, Nate?
I'm kind of right there with you guys. I mean, so from the moment Liv Morgan she won the title in general, I was kind of concerned that this might be the way that her run may be booked, a way wind up going, because she's kind of like, it was a completely just unexpected win, right? Like, nobody really expected her to win. Nobody thought she was going to necessarily win the title. And yeah, she's always been kind of an undercard. Nothing knocking her. I love her body of work, and I feel like she adds a lot to the SmackDown roster.
By the way, too, one last thing I just realized as well is that held on to the brief. Yeah, held on to the briefcase for a little bit longer and not cash in the same night. I hate when they have the women cash in on the same night, first Alexa and then Bayley, and now with Liv. What's with that? And Asuka did it, but that's because of Becky's pregnancy. Who knew that was going to happen? So, but that's been happening with the women's money in the bank ladder, with the women's money in the bank. They keep cut the big champion either the same day or the next night of Raw. So I just think they need to stop doing that as well. But that's another thing.
That was something that I kind of remember talking about when it happened, was I wish they would have given Liv Morgan a bit of a run with the Money in the Bank briefcase and let her have a bit of a story with that, chasing the title, you know, teasing, hey, am I going to cash it in now? Am I going to cash it in now? You know, and give her a little bit of a high profile spot where you never know where she might show up and cash in the title. That could have certainly done, you know, I think that could have done wonders for her in her title run, kind of getting the fans behind her a bit more. Not that the fans aren't behind her, but I feel like a lot of people kind of feel almost like I do, is she's not like, you want to see her as a good champion. You want to get behind her and you want to, like, you know, root for her and whatnot. But at the same time, it's tough to view her as a credible champion based on the way they've not only booked her in the past, but kind of continue to book her as champion. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah. Kyle, thanks. Great stuff as always, man. I really appreciate it. Good to talk to you.
Yeah. Make sure you keep mentioning that Roman Reigns thing too throughout the show, 'cause that's something that's, I've been complaining about that as well. So just hearing the people talk about that and they agree with me or not would be interesting, but that's it. Thanks. So.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Kyle. Yep. And we'll try to track down others' opinions on that. Let's keep rolling. 814. We'll go to you next. 814, state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, good to talk to you as always, man. What do you think of SmackDown?
Oh, it was a pretty good show. And my first question is on the Bloodline. Do you know what the status is of the Usos? I know the one, I can't remember which one, has a DUI, like three of the charges over 10 years. What's his status for, like, traveling to the premium live event next month? Is it similar to Canada? And how long is that going to be on his record where he can't travel into some of these countries? Is it going to be forever, or just maybe for a few more years, or do you know anything on that?
Yeah, I don't So I don't know the exact like where Jimmy is, Nate, as far as like the legal issue in regards to that DUI. You know, he hasn't had any trouble traveling places since then. You know, I mean, he's been to, I mean, they've had shows in Canada, they, you know, all around in the United States. So I don't know officially, but you know, my guess is that he'll be in Cardiff, you know, for that Roman Reigns match. Nate, I mean, what do you know about the situation?
Yeah, I don't really know any more than what you guys do. You know, I don't know if there was an actual legitimate reason why they couldn't get across the border tonight, if this was just story to make it seem like Roman was on his own going against, well, not going against, but, in the face-to-face against Drew McIntyre, you know, kind of build that a little bit more. So I don't really know, to be honest. You know, I know that, you know, Canada does have some issues with people with DUIs and things crossing the border. So that might have something to do with it, but yeah, officially I my guess is as good as yours.
Yeah Ryan, I mean, we don't have any reporting at this time as to like specifically why, you know, the Usos weren't on the show tonight, so I can't really confirm one way or the other that it was because of that situation, but something to look at for sure. But back to you for your second question.
My second question is on that Viking Raiders promo. I know Triple H is planning to bring a few more talents back, and I was wondering if that promo is hinting at Sarah Logan returning, because it seemed like there was somebody presenting the Viking Raiders and doing like a ritual with them. And I know she was back for the Royal Rumble, but she did wrestle at EC3's event against Amber O'Neil just a few months ago, so maybe she's under contract, so I wonder if you need a status on her.
So I don't know the status on Sarah Logan. I mean, I don't, you know, she was not a very prevalent talent when she was in the company. And, you know, they don't need that right now. I think they need to just continue to establish themselves as this, like, new team to be taken seriously, and not a team that's, you know, cosplaying as Vikings. And so, you know, I'm going to use this for a second, Ryan, because I have a note here, because I want to make sure to talk about that segment, Nate, because, you know, the Viking Raiders, the presentation has been flipped into something a little bit more serious and a little bit more kind of ruthless and dangerous and dark. You know, I thought that the segment tonight, the vignette that they did, was ambitious, you know, to kind of further that presentation, but also a little bit minor league in terms of just the production of it all. And so I thought it was a good sign for them, because the attempt was there, you know, to like, hey, we're going to put this out and we're going to, you know, try to frame them this way. I just don't know that the execution, you know, mirrored up, you know, the attempt. So A for effort, but I think you've got to get those guys in a ring, just beating people up on a week-to-week basis. Like, you know, kind of cut the silly stuff and the dark, you know, Viking stuff. Just get them in a ring, have them obliterate their opponents, and then put a babyface team like the New Day in their path. But I think they kind of set themselves back with the horror movie vignettes. Where are you at on the Viking Raiders tonight with that that special piece of production?
So, yeah, I like, in a way I like it, because they're trying something different. They're trying something new with the Raiders. And I'm always for that, you know, especially with a team like this, where they've had so many different iterations of the Viking Raiders. You've had like the goofy Viking Raiders with the Street Profits, and, you know, down in NXT, you had, God, what were they called? I think they were still called War Raiders back then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
War Raiders, then. They were War Machine in the Indies. War Raiders down in NXT, which I thought was an excellent presentation of you know, this particular team. On the main roster, especially under Vince, they floundered, and they haven't really been taken seriously for a long time. So I'm kind of glad they're giving them a little bit of a facelift, and I do kind of like the lean towards, you know, a little more dark and sinister, But I do agree with you on the production of this here tonight. It did seem a little bit indie, if you will. Didn't mm-hmm. seem like yeah. you know, something WWE would have put together. As far as Sarah Logan goes, that was the first thing that crossed my mind when I saw. I'm like, is that Sarah Logan? Like, I'd be cool with it. She was never. I was never a huge fan, but I wouldn't say it would be a bad thing if she was to join the Viking Raiders at all. I think, especially with joining her husband Eric, there could be right. some good chemistry there. If they were to bring her in as either like a manager or a third, female talent in the faction, but I don't think they need it either. I think kind of like what you're saying is they just got to get in the ring and kick some ass. It's basically it. They've had so many starts and stops where just if you're going to present them as a credible badass tag team, present them as a credible badass tag team.
Right. Exactly. Good question, Ryan. What's your third question for us tonight?
My third question is on that women's tag team match and Nikita Lyons and Zoe being out of that match. If one of them was hurt, why wouldn't the one get the partner? Was it because maybe Triple H was suddenly a little bit more impressed with Toxic Attraction and made a last-minute decision? Or maybe one of those females that was left out was some disciplinary trouble? Or is there something else going on there?
Yeah, Nate, I'll throw to you on that. Go ahead.
So, this is all kind of pure speculation and things like that. So, part of me doesn't even necessarily want to bring it up, but it could potentially be vaccination status for Nikita Lyons. I know she's kind of in that camp, anti-vax from what, I've seen on social media and things like that for her. So if I had to guess, the Canadians might might not be too happy about bringing somebody that's unvaccinated to the country. And with Zoe Stark, I don't know which way she necessarily leans there, but if she was injured and you had, had to try and find a replacement for her. And then obviously Nikita Lyons may have had some issues getting into the country because of that. I guess it kind of just makes sense to just replace the whole team. Now, I don't know why they wouldn't have thought of that beforehand either, because they knew they were going to have this show here tonight. So it kind of, in a way, seems like poor planning, at least for Nikita Lyons, if that is the case. It seems like poor planning, because you kind of knew that you were going to be having a show here in Canada. If Zoe Stark did get injured, which, I don't know necessarily one way or another if that, if she did get injured on this week's show or not, but if that's what they're saying, at least part of story, it kind of obviously makes sense to why she would have been off the show. But that's kind of where at least what I think kind of happened tonight with Zoe Stark and Nikita Lyons.
Yeah, so there's some news on this too. So the official word from Shawn Michaels was that Zoe Stark was actually dealing with an injury from Heat Wave. So undisclosed as to what that is. And then I think you're on the money with Nikita Lyons, as she was deemed medically unavailable. It's one of those things where they may have actually been struck gold with this, because I don't know. I just thought Toxic Attraction looked so good out there tonight. And I think, Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark, while, a decent little team and certainly representative of NXT, like the fact that they were in this tournament and just thrown together, I don't think, kind of gave them high prospects in terms of like winning it and doing something. Whereas now, you've got your best women's tag team from NXT up on the main roster and had a good showing. So this could be something that we look back on and go, kind of an interesting curveball, but one that ultimately paid off for the best.
And I really don't think Nikita Lyons would have shined on the main roster, to be honest with you. She's still a work in progress. As a matter of fact, she showed up on this past episode of NXT just to kind of, oh God, I forget who it might have actually been. Toxic Attraction. She was trying to thwart backstage. I'm trying to remember, but she got involved in a match and basically just tried to get a couple girls backstage. She was throwing punches and kicks that looked like she had no idea what she was doing. I mean, they weren't connecting with anybody. It just looked like she was throwing her arms around in a mosh pit. It was bad. Yeah. You know, and it was something I picked up on, Bruce picked up on, a couple of callers picked up on, or an emailer picked up on, something like that. But yeah, she's not ready. Where Toxic Attraction, they're a polished, finished product. And they looked damn good tonight. So I think it might have been a blessing in disguise, like you said.
Yep, I agree. Ryan, anything else for us tonight before you go? Just want to get your thoughts on the Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre segment that we were talking about earlier. Where are you at on Roman Reigns? Is he, you know, big time star or, you know, absentee champion? Where's your head at on that, Ryan?
He's not near as level as like an Austin or a Rock or even a Shawn Michaels or a Bret Hart. But he's the best thing they have right now that can speak decently on the microphone and give somewhat of a respectable main event match on a premium live event.
There you go. I like it. So I'm going to put that vote on my side. I feel like that's like a, you know, Team Zach Team Zach vote. Ryan.
I'll give you that.
Okay, good. Good. Kyle, it's on, my friend. No. Ryan, thanks very much. Any final comments tonight before we jump to another caller?
I did attend AEW in Charleston on Wednesday, so you'll get to hear my thoughts of Greg Parks is available on Sunday.
Oh, fantastic. Good. Yeah, very much looking forward to that in what was certainly a newsworthy episode of AEW Dynamite. So, yeah, everybody tune in Sunday night with Greg, Wrestling Night in America. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for taking the call.
Yep, no problem. Thanks for making it. Looking forward to talking to you again soon. All right, we'll keep it going here, Nate. 313. There's actually two 313s in the queue, surprisingly enough. But we'll go 313-468. You are up. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Jay from Michigan. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing good, Jay. Doing good. Good to hear from you. What'd you think of SmackDown?
I thought SmackDown was a pretty good show. You know, this is 3 weeks in a row. I was down on SmackDown for, you know, the better part of the year, pretty much since the last draft. And, I mean, I just feel like Triple H has come in and just revived everything, man, and given it so much more meaning. So I'll transition it to sort of you guys' topic as it pertains to Roman and his part-time status. So, you know, prior to, again, Triple H taking over, after Roman won the titles, and, you know, I called up several times and just complained, like, it seems like they just had no plan besides just giving him the title so he can get that Mania moment, but there was nothing in the works after that. And I really felt that was a Vince thing because, you know, even when he wasn't around, they weren't elevating the mid-card titles or doing anything with those. But
right,
so I had
right.
a problem with it, But at this point in time, I mean, with the emphasis they put on the mid-card titles, you know, I'm kind of in your camp, Zach. You know, I don't need my champion to be so present as long as we, again, I feel like a month ago, I wouldn't have thought much of a Drew-Roman match. But the way they've built it week by week, like Drew just seems, you know, even in this entire Roman run, you know what I mean, which I feel like has been pretty much phenomenal, there has never been, even though there's been so many great opponents and so many great matches, there has never been a match just with my educated brain. There's never been a match I felt Roman was going to lose. I don't necessarily say that I'm definitive about him losing to Drew, but it feels like he can lose and it feels like it would make sense for him to lose. So, again, to kind of come back and answer the question, if being that they've gotten Drew built up so credibly and being that they put emphasis on the mid-card titles, I think Roman being in the role that he's in as a champion, as a star, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a well-articulated opinion there, and I do agree. You know, a lot of it, you know, and I said the same thing, Jay, about Roman Reigns, where it's like, wow, you have this guy win the undisputed world championship in your company, and then you don't have anything for him on the back end, and they deserved criticism for that because nothing else was going on with the shows either and with those other titles. But when you kind of change the environment around him, that matters, and I think that they've done a good job. Nate, in regards to Drew, you know, critical about kind of the content of the promo tonight, but I don't think you can argue with the fact that he appears to be on Roman's level in terms of just star power and as an alpha and as a competitor, like from just a pro wrestling standpoint, where I think there's something to what Jay's saying here in that for the first time, you can really look at this Roman Reigns match and go, okay, this could be the moment. And he's had a lot of great matches and he's had a lot of, you know, fun stories, but you know, it hasn't been a regular thing to think that, okay, Roman Reigns might lose the title. And they've rebuilt Drew here and successfully, I think. And so if he does beat Roman Reigns at Clash at the Castle, it's not going to seem misguided. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, Drew McIntyre, not only does he just look as physically imposing as Roman Reigns does, but the story and the way they booked him, you know, plays into that as well. You know, matter of fact, in terms of just kind of like his overall look and presentation, you know, a friend of mine, he's a casual fan. He's a big fan of Roman Reigns in his current incarnation. He doesn't really know about most of the characters, but he likes Roman Reigns. And I showed him Drew McIntyre and kind of that presentation, and he was like, "Holy crap, this guy is awesome!" Right? And you know, love the sword and all of that, he actually like really kind of got behind him and wanted me to show him a few matches and things, which is pretty cool. So it's kind of like Drew McIntyre is, I definitely feel like he's on that type of a level with Roman Reigns. He's maybe a step below if I had to be honest, but he's definitely right there. If he was the one that dethroned Roman Reigns, I wouldn't be disappointed about it. They've done it in such a way where it would seem to make sense.
Yeah. Well said. Jay, back to you. Any other comments on SmackDown tonight?
No, just I'm definitely just enjoying wrestling right now. I'm enjoying what they're doing, and I'm enjoying, you know, what both companies are doing, and it's just a good time to be a fan, man. I thought SmackDown was great tonight, and I'm looking forward to next week and, you know, the show coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah. It's certainly an exciting time, that's for sure. Jay, thanks. 100%. Appreciate it, man.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Yeah, Nate, what a quick pause. 313-671, we'll get to you next, and then 914 after that. But Nate, tonight, did you sense – like any, you know, kind of Triple H-ifying of the show at all? Like, because I think Raw to me has been a pretty substantial change in some of the formatting and how they're presenting some stars and the use of video packages. And I think we saw some of that on SmackDown, but to me it's not as glaring. Did anything stand out to you tonight that you said to yourself, "Wow, that could be a Triple H thing"?
So I would agree with you in terms of like it Raw seems to be a bit more of a changed product. NXT too, for that matter. There's definitely been some changes in NXT that kind of make me almost feel like it's black and gold again in some respects. Certainly the pacing of the show. SmackDown, not so much. However, there were some things in commentary that I really liked, like the commentators actually calling moves. It was great.
Yes.
You know, they're calling neck breakers. They were calling, I remember them calling the Blue Thunder Bomb. I remember them calling Helluva. I mean, and obviously they'll call out finishers anyway. But I mean, there were multiple times over the course of the night where I'm like, yes, they mentioned a suplex. They mentioned a neck breaker, you know. That was probably the biggest thing that stood out to me and really Oh, and actually, not only that, but they were talking. It was during the women's tag team match with Toxic Attraction. You know, they were starting to talk about Toxic Attraction's accolades down in NXT, and the way that they did it, and this is something that Michael Cole and Pat McAfee both done before too, but the way they did it made it kind of sound like an actual like sports broadcast talking about statistics and things like that. Whereas a lot of times where you get like an NXT act up on the main roster before, you know, kind of when Vince was still in charge, they wouldn't really talk about NXT and what went on down there much. Of course, you had your exceptions like, you know, Kevin Owens showing up with the NXT title and challenging John Cena. But like, you know, for the most part, when you had somebody showing up that was still on the main roster, they almost kind of shied away from talking about it. So I like the fact that they were kind of playing up Toxic Attraction on commentary and kind of speaking to it in like a sports analyst mindset. But those are kind of like the major things that stood out. Otherwise, it does kind of seem like a similar paced show to how it's been.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, man. That's a really good point on commentary. Commentary tonight, I thought was really, really good, especially during that, you know, the Intercontinental number one contender match. I thought it was spot on there, and I think there was an El Generico reference.
There was.
which is so bizarre because, you know, Sami Zayn has not been El Generico for what? Almost 9 years, right?
He was never El Generico. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, like, just in general. Like, in his – I mean, El Generico is such a distant memory. Like
Sammy would never say he was El Generico.
No, he wouldn't. You're right. But it's that kind of thing, though, that I think – I don't know if he was produced to say that, right? And it doesn't really matter because what it came across as is just like two guys that are calling the product that are a little bit looser than usual and have the freedom to like to talk about the people in the ring instead of constantly just kind of walking that line of like the corporate catchphrase and what have you. It creates a looser environment, and I think that helps just freshen up the tone of the show. And I think we saw that tonight.
Big time. Yeah, and Michael Cole, when he's not kind of under the Vince McMahon thumb, if you will, he's a great commentator anyway. I think he gets a lot of hate. But when he's able to just do his own thing, he's phenomenal. I think it was the Mae Young Classic where he showed up. It was either that or the Cruiserweight Classic. Can't remember off the top of my head right now.
I think I know what you're talking about. It was the UK show, wasn't it? That the UK
maybe that's what it was.
That two night thing.
Yeah. And like he was absolutely phenomenal on that show. You know, because he wasn't being produced by Vince and Vince and company back then. And since then, you know, since Vince has been gone and Michael Cole's kind of been able to do his own thing, he's been great. Pat McAfee is one of my favorite commentators, like maybe of all time at this point. He's phenomenal. I love what he brings to the product. His energy is off the charts. And I just love the fact that he comes to the show like he's just a fan, you know, and he's a fan living his dream. And that's the way he even talks about it on his show, Pat McAfee Show. I'll listen to it occasionally. And every once in a while, I'll start talking about, you know, just his job with WWE. He's like, they don't tell me what's going on. I just go. I react to the product as it show it to me, and I just have fun. And that's how he comes across. I love that duo.
Yeah. Well said. All right. Let's keep going with callers. 313-671. You are up. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hi, this is Grant from Detroit.
Hey, Grant. Good to hear from you. What did you think of SmackDown?
I thought it was a good show. I'm kind of in your camp when you said as long as the mid-card titles are strong, I'm okay with a floating champ.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
But what I was calling about, and I wish Wade was on, you know, not you, because it's something that I noticed, like, So normally I don't get into like the WWE versus AEW thing, but something that's been standing out to me, like they introducing all these, I mean, they saying they comebacks, but they're basically new characters and they not really giving us no background on them. They're not fleshing them out. Like, I know who Hit Row is. I know who Karrion Kross is. But if you're talking about the average fan, Karrion Kross looked totally different when he was on the main roster. He was only around for maybe 6 weeks. And Hit Row was only around for probably 3 weeks. And they had Swerve, so it's a whole one less person. So they look different. So I feel like if this was AEW and this is something that multiple people have brought up about them, about introducing characters, not giving us no background information and saying and just assuming that we know who they are, like, y'all would be killing them, and I have not heard one person say anything about that.
You know, Grant, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. And I think that they've done better with some than others. Karrion Kross, I think, is a example of where they could give, you know, some more intel as to, hey, who is this guy? Why does this guy matter? Because you're right. He especially, because he was so damaged on that first main roster run. I think that they should be held to that same standard. I think tonight with Hit Row, you know, it was kind of like a bit of a coming out party. Like, they got to put their full act on display. They got to show some of their physicality, and then they did the song in the ring. So that, I think, is something. What I did like about tonight was that they had an introductory video package for Toxic Attraction before that match. I thought that played well. And Nate, it's really kind of indicative of all that you really have to do to make some of these introductions. That was a little video that aired on the side of the screen, you know, but gave flavor as to who they are, what their act's all about, what their character's all about in like 30 seconds. So it doesn't have to be hard. And it doesn't have to be long, but if you do it, you just kind of button up the presentation and make them feel like big time stars. So yeah, I think it's hit or miss right now. But the criticism is warranted. I mean, they should try to introduce somebody like Kross, you know, more effectively than just, hey, it's Karrion Kross again. And, you know, so I'll throw to you, Nate, and then I want to pivot this into a Hit Row question that I have for you as well. And then, Grant, we'll jump back to you in a second.
Sure. So I definitely hear where both you guys are coming from, and I think the criticism is definitely warranted. So tonight with that Toxic Attraction video package, I think you hit the nail on the head. It was a great way to just kind of introduce the larger WWE audience to an already established tag team, kind of what they're about and, you know, what they've done down in NXT and whatnot. You know, this is something that's a big criticism, and it's been a big criticism of mine down on, you know, where I've been covering NXT for, God, it's almost 3 years now. I can't believe it's almost 3 years, but I've been covering NXT for that long.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, in the time I've been doing it, it's, you know, as I said earlier, NXT is always a revolving door. You've got new talent coming in. You've got talent going up to the main roster, and all of that. So whenever you get some new talent, sometimes they just show up. They get put into, you know, put into a feud, and you're kind of like, who the heck is this, right? And it's they used to do a great job. Jeremy Borash would produce some of these Prime Target videos, which were phenomenal. One of them that sticks out in my head was Kushida's, where they did a bit of a backstage on his life and who he is kind of outside the ring and things like that. So you kind of were able to latch on to Kushida a bit more. But they did some great ones for like Undisputed Era and things back in the day too. So they got really good at doing those type of videos. And I think that would really help on the main roster with Karrion Kross, probably, especially, it may help. Now, I personally kind of like the way that they introduced Karrion Kross. I thought it was very effective, and the way that he came in, it was just instantly like, okay, he's a main level guy, a main roster guy, or main event level guy. He's somebody to watch, right? Maybe you remember him kind of coming out dressed in, well, as Drew McIntyre said on Twitter, dressed in bondage. Maybe you do remember him like that. Maybe you don't. But at least with Karrion Kross, his debut all of a sudden made him feel like he's okay. He's somebody I got to pay attention to. He's important. But sometimes it takes more than just saying that he's important. And you got to kind of explain who they are and give them a little bit of a background. So I think doing that for not just Karrion Kross, but really any new character that you introduce it's always gonna help. It's never gonna hurt.
Yeah. What did you think of Hit Row tonight? It wasn't a video package, but I thought it was a kind of a "This is who we are" type segment. I liked it. I thought it was effective. I thought the three of them looked really good out there together. The crowd seemed to respond. They got to fight a little bit too, which was good. So I you know, thumbs up. It reminded me of what they did. I think they had a segment like that in NXT that was successful, but this worked for me.
The mute button is the bane of my existence. yeah, no, same here. This worked for me too. Now, when I heard, you know, Hit Row was coming back to WWE, you know, without Swerve, I was kind of like, ooh, okay, this could be interesting, because Swerve was obviously the lifeblood of Hit Row. But I mean, Top Dollar, he's super charismatic. Ashante the Adonis is not only is he charismatic, but he is phenomenal in the ring. Amazing worker. B-Fab has something about her that I like. She's definitely got that it factor. I don't know how she's come along in the ring in the few months she's been away from WWE, but she certainly needed work in the ring. You know, even before her call up to SmackDown. I feel like if they utilize B-Fab as more of a manager and kind of hype man or hype woman for Hit Row, that might be a bit better of a fit for her right now, just because she like I said, she wasn't all that great in the ring. But if she's able to kind of, you know, get her skills going and kind of hone that craft a bit more I have no problem, you know, with her. You know, getting in some, you know, women's matches or some six-man tag matches with Hit Row or something like that. But overall, I really like the presentation. Even without Swerve, they came across as, like, you know, a polished product tonight. So yeah, I'm really excited to see them back on the show.
Yeah, I agree. I think B-Fab is untapped potential right now because of the fact that she has so much charisma. Like when they're out there, like, you know, your eye just goes to her. She has this kind of like commanding presence and like a star aura to her that you can't teach, you know. You just either have that or you don't. And so, yeah, if you're WWE and you're Triple H, you're hoping that, okay, we can develop her, that her ring work gets better. Because, yeah, you're right, it did need work. But some of the intangibles that she brings to the table are really important. And so it's good to see her get this shot, because, you know, she comes across as a big-time star.
I wonder.
Let's go back to Grant here. Grant, toss back to you. Any other comments for us, or another or question or thought on the show?
The only other question I had for you all is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad do you all think Gunther and Sheamus are going to beat the hell out of each other?
Oh, I'm looking forward to that one, Nate.
Yes, I am.
I really am. I mean, I think, like, I'm going to say like 9. I mean, you know, there's no indication that these guys are not going to work a really stiff match. And they're like both very similar wrestlers in that way, in terms of like laying their stuff in a little bit stiff. And that's their style. Like, this is not a styles make fights type match. This is a, let's just get these two bruisers in a ring together and see what's going to happen. So yeah, I think this is going to be one of the more stiffer WWE matches that you see, Nate, but I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, 100%. Like, I think this is probably the first time in recent memory that I'm like, it kind of pumped about a Sheamus match. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, right.
You know, Gunther is, I'm a huge Gunther fan. It's still weird to call him Gunther. He's still Walter. Always going to be Walter in my heart. But yeah, like, he, you know, in NXT UK, the way he was presented was, I mean, just this unstoppable monster. And he's kind of continued to be presented that way on the main roster. I'm surprised, to be honest. I was almost worried about what might happen to him once he actually hit the main roster, because I can see how he might not be everybody's cup of tea. You know, he might seem a little bland to some people at times. But I love him. Just that big bruiser, very stiff, you know, all about, you know, respecting the business, respecting the ring. Oh God, I can't remember those ring comp, but I forget what their motto was off the top of my head now, but regardless. So yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's going to be a great match. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to go with a 9. I'll go with a 9 dudes. I think they're going to beat the crap out of one another. We're going to see a lot of red chests.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I mean, and even tonight, I mean, Sheamus, man, he hit his leg on something that looked.
Oh yeah, that looked gnarly.
Brutal. That looked really gnarly. Yeah. So that's a sign of things to come. you know, it's going to be a good match. I, you know, in the moment, let's just jump into the IC title situation here. So I thought that match was really good. And I thought, as I'm watching it, that was one of the things that stood out. That was like a hello, this is a Triple H type change, because I've always thought this with the amount of content that WWE has to put out on a weekly basis, where it's like, just, you have something to lean into every time you go on the air, and that's wrestling matches. Like, if you put on good wrestling matches and let these guys go out there and work, like, you don't have to produce as much like content. Like, you could just have the time filled by wrestling matches. And I'm not saying to put them out there with no story or no stakes or anything like that. You obviously need that. But tonight is a good example where, man, I mean, that Intercontinental title feels like something really important because of the match and the effort and the war that those five guys went to in order to get a title shot. And it was multiple segments, and I think everybody shined in that match. Sami Zayn was obviously a bit of a curveball because of the hometown thing, but it helped give the match just a level of importance that we don't always see on WWE television. So I was really encouraged by the amount of time that got, the fact that it was for a shot at the Intercontinental title, and, you know, and the fact that, you know, they're going to go with Sheamus here. I think he's the right guy to go with, because he's somebody that can, you know, hang with Gunther, but also do the job, because I don't think they're ready to take the title off of Gunther yet. So this just checked all the boxes, Nate. And I thought it was a really good use of three SmackDown segments on a 2-hour show.
No, agreed. It really was like, you know, I really liked Sami Zayn's story throughout the match here too.
Yeah.
You know, him being just that hometown hero, you know, syncing up with Roman Reigns and being, you know, when Roman Reigns earlier in the night was like, I think it'd be a nice for the IC title to come to the Bloodline, you know, and you're like, ooh, all right, let's see what has Sammy got, you know, up his sleeve here.
Yeah.
You know, and the couple few false finishes where you thought maybe he might actually get, you know, might actually do it. Cause like, I really liked Sami Zayn's, you know, IC title run right before COVID, and then kind of, I guess, they did it again, right after he came back from that initial like COVID lockdown or whatever. But I think you're right. Sheamus really kind of makes the most sense with Gunther. You know, as we just talked about, they're very similar styles. It's going to be a brawl. It's not necessarily going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be a brawl. brawl with some wrestling moves in it. Let's put it that way. Yeah. But I don't think they're ready to take the title off of Gunther yet either. It seems like they're really high on him. So somebody like Sheamus, not only are they going to get a good match out of him, but Sheamus is, I mean, he's kind of Teflon at this point. You know, he's going to probably lose more big matches than he's going to win, but he's that established veteran in the company. So, you know, and he's still got the fans behind him. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, he's probably a good person to take that pin, give a little bit of a rub to Gunther, and give a great match. I think overall it was a good choice.
Yep, absolutely. All right, 914, thank you for bearing with us, and thanks for holding. State your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hey, guys, Brad in New York. How are you both?
Good, Brad. Good to talk
to you.
Doing
good.
What did you think of the show?
Hey, thanks, fellas. So I loved the show. I thought it was that five man match was really great. But yeah, I just have a few like random points that I just wanted to throw out there, things that, you know, I was thinking about and some that kind of came to me while I was on hold. But first of all, you know, the Toxic Attraction thing, I was thrilled to see them there, like thrilled. But why no Mandy Rose with them? Like, it would have been a great visual to have Mandy with the belt coming out because, you know, you guys know NXT. I mean, you know, Toxic Attraction without Mandy Rose, it kind of isn't Toxic Attraction. It's kind of like, you know, the Bloodline with just Roman. You know, it's you know, I get it, it's two of three of them there, but, you know, Mandy with the belt, it would have been a good way to introduce her, I think, to the national audience a little bit more and, you know, or reintroduce her because she has been on the main roster before. But that was just one point. And, you know, the Karrion Kross promo, I did not – and listen, I'm a pretty good listener and I'm not a dummy. I did not understand at all what he was talking about. I was really trying to. He doesn't deserve it. This one doesn't deserve it. Chosen one, that chosen one, Roman's the chosen one, Drew's the chosen one, none of them the chosen one. Honestly, it was driving me crazy, and I did not understand what he was talking about. And I wanted to know, is there something wrong with me, or did you guys feel that way too? Because I didn't get it. And very rarely is there a WWE segment that I cannot understand. There was a couple of things I wanted to say.
Yeah, let me jump in on the Karrion Kross thing because I think it's a good topic. And I'm not a fan. Like, it's as it was going
what
on,
was he talking
I just,
about?
I'm, right. It's like it's all to me. You know what it felt like? It felt like, you know, those Bray Wyatt promos from back in the day, where it's like you're saying a lot of stuff and it kind of looks cool. You're in a cool environment. You got a good look, but then when you really break it down, it's like, wait, what's this guy talking about? Like, what is he actually talking about? And I don't think that there's a good answer to that, Brad and Nate. You know, Karrion Kross, like he has limitations. You know, I think he's got a presence about him. I think he's able to lean into that. I think Scarlett being a part of the act really helps in terms of how he's presented. It makes him kind of feel main event, right? But the limitations are he can't go in the ring. You know, he has limitations there. And I think what you have to do with him is make sure that that character is buttoned up and that people know what his purpose is, know kind of what's driving him and where he's going, because that's gonna define, you know, what he does. I think the best thing about Karrion Kross is that character element. But tonight, it was kind of a hodgepodge, this and that type thing that I think missed. Nate, what about you?
No, I definitely agree with you there. And that was always one of my complaints about Karrion Kross down in NXT as well, was, you know, a lot of his promos just didn't really make a whole lot of sense. You know, you've got Scarlett saying some stuff and you get some TikToks going on. And I don't mean the app. I mean, you know, what do they call it? Hourglass, you know, TikTok, whatever. They sounded cool. Like I could, you know, if I was like my 10-year-old wrestling self, like I would have been like, oh my God, that was the coolest promo I ever heard. Right. Cause it was so mysterious. But if you're not like 10, 12 years old, yeah, it's kind of like, all right, what exactly are they talking about? So I do think that there kind of needs to be more consistency with his promos and kind of saying things that is a little bit more in like the realm of reality and not just kind of cryptic things. If you are going to go with the cryptic route, like pay it off, you know, and
right. right.
and have some sort of a payoff to it. But, you know, right now, like, I think you hit the nail on the head when you kind of, you know, compared it to the Bray Wyatt, like Bray Wyatt promos, whether it was down in NXT back, you know, like back in the day, or even, you know, after he hit the main roster, definitely before the Fiend days, where he was just kind of rambling and you're like, where is he going? I think Karrion Kross is going to bring a lot to the main roster. And I really like the character and kind of the direction that they've got for him and Scarlett. And I think Scarlett being back with him is like probably the greatest thing for that particular character. But yeah, he's got to kind of find his voice and a voice that we can understand.
Yeah. And I say this because I think he, like you said, can give the main roster like a jolt of a top tier star. I don't think he's going to be a guy that you know, attach the company to, but he's can be a player. And I think, you know, and because some of that, like kind of like the voodoo stuff and like kind of like the dark and like that's a good character thing. But like, if you don't pay that off, you just kind of look silly. And
yeah,
you know, he's got this good look, and they've got a good look together. I think you just kind of keep it simpler, you know, and just, hey, I'm here to just terrorize the main roster. And Roman Reigns, that means you. Drew McIntyre, that means you. Bobby Lashley, that means, like, whatever. But, like, I think you can just lean on that. I don't think you need the hourglass thing and the tick. Like, that's all kind of like, hey, it's that show business, whatever. Like, it kind of has a good, you know, you can throw it on the T-shirt, right? But if that's the only card you can play, you know, then I think you're lost as a character. And I think they need to do a better job of defining that. Brad, back to you. Good call on the Karrion Kross.
Thank you. So look, one other thing I have to say, and I understand you guys were fans of it. I was a hip hop DJ and still am for 25 years. I've produced hip hop music for many, many years. And, you know, this is not coming from a place of, you know, I'm just some guy who has no idea what, you know, why what I'm saying this. I don't connect with this culture. But that Hit Row segment to me, man, was terrible. And I don't think that you need to do a 3-minute or 2.5-minute two-verse rap song on a wrestling show after kicking the Maximum Male Models out of the ring to resonate with the audience. I mean, what percentage of the audience watching on national TV do you think really liked that? Like, it couldn't have been more than 20%. It couldn't have been. I mean, I got to be honest, man. Like, I just was not a big fan of that. Now, maybe I am in the minority and I'm just reading this completely wrong, but I thought that segment was awful. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of this Hit Row act after seeing that. And then, you know, another thing was interesting on the camera work when Drew at the end was about to stand over Roman with the two belts, they cut away and went to replay really quick. Now, I understand he kind of started to hold it up as the show went off the air, but which never really happens with the WWE, they missed a really great camera shot of Drew standing over a fallen Roman right after the Claymore and picking up those belts, which happened. You saw he started to do it, and then it cut away. And I thought that was going to be that shot, kind of like what you got when Roman held it up over Brock at Madison Square Garden with both belts, and you got that shot on TV for 3 weeks or whatever it was before WrestleMania. So, look, I'm sorry. I just could not get behind the Hit Row stuff. And I did think the Viking Raiders funeral thing was too long, but and a little drawn out and a little stupid, to be honest with you. But other than that, it was a really, really good show. And I last thing, I promised not to ramble on, but that Canadian crowd was really weird, like how they were wadding Roman Reigns and not really cheering for Drew. The only person they wanted to cheer for was Sami Zayn tonight. And that was really it. I mean, that's the way it felt, at least. So thank you guys for taking my call. And sorry if I rambled a little bit, but I appreciate the show and everything you guys are doing out there.
Great call, Brad. Thanks. Good to talk to you. Call again. Yeah, you know, so as far as the Hit Row thing goes, I think there's a couple ways you can look at that. And, you know, I guess I could have and should have probably followed up with Brad on this. But if you're looking at that going like, hey, I don't like this song, you know, like, and that's not why I like the segment. I like the segment for what it tried to establish with the group. Like this, it was like, hey, like we're here and this is who we are. This is what we do. This is why you should like it. I don't know that they're going for like, man, we really want to make sure that we have a hit song here. To me, Nate, it was about the attempt to present those characters. And that's what I thought worked more so than, you know, the song itself.
I'm going to spare everybody from me singing, but all I can say is Jeff Jarrett's original With My Baby Tonight. When it comes to wrestling and music, it's always cringeworthy. And I feel like I totally hear where the caller's coming from. And I'm sorry, I forget your name.
Brad,
I'm sorry. Terrible with names. I'm great with faces, but when you're doing an audio podcast, you don't get faces.
That's not going to work, yeah.
Yeah. But when it comes to wrestling and music, like a lot of the musical acts are kind of cringeworthy. And I feel like in a way Hit Row kind of can be, but I'm not saying that that's a bad thing either. In a wrestling context, I feel like it kind of works and their charisma kind of makes it work. No, it's not a good song. It's not. I'll be the first to admit it. But the fact that they are like a wrestling hip hop act, like it's a cheesy song, which kind of fits into cheesy wrestling gimmicks, yeah, cheesy wrestling musical gimmicks. But it's also kind of fun too. So I feel like it's an act that people can kind of get behind. I mean, think about Too Cool back in the day too. Like that was super cheesy, right? But like, I mean, come on, you got up and did the dance, you know, you did. So that's kind of where I stand with it. It's like, even down in NXT, like that was always my thought was like, all right, you know, this is kind of cheesy. I'm not much of a hip hop guy myself, but at the same time, it was entertaining. Not necessarily the musical stuff, more so the, you know, just their gimmick and what they brought to the table. So I definitely hear where Brad's coming from.
Yeah. So I also will enter into evidence here, even when like established musical acts play on a wrestling show.
Yeah.
It's sometimes cringeworthy. Like it just, that happens. Even, you know, when Limp Bizkit went out there all those years ago, it's like, okay, it's fine, but like, it's kind of cringeworthy at the same time too. So yeah,
like
I'm
here to watch a wrestling show, not a concert, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. good point. I'm trying to remember what the other thing was that Brad brought up.
I don't remember my name.
Oh, the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
I would agree with that assessment. Like, they were really hot for Sami Zayn, and I wanted to ask you this question about that. Like, Sami Zayn, to me, like, I'm getting, and it's a long way away, but I'm getting, like, little hints of, you know, 2013 Daniel Bryan with him right now, where he's playing this heel role, but he's so darn likable, even in the heel role. And now, in this instance, opposite Reigns and the Bloodline, a little bit sympathetic because they're bullying him. Where it's like, you know, Sami Zayn taking that shot today for Roman Reigns, it's like I didn't necessarily feel like, oh man, like pesky Sami Zayn got in there and ruined, you know, Drew McIntyre's move. What I thought was, oh man, look at Sami Zayn, look at what a good friend he's beat. And it's like,
right,
if they're not careful, like he's going to be the over babyface act that they don't want in, you know, 8 months time.
Yeah, I love Sami Zayn, I really do. I love just his presentation right now, kind of. He's gotten past the paranoid gimmicks. I was going to say paranoid. I guess he still is paranoid in some respects, but just this kind of just over the top, like I can't even describe it, but I love it. I love everything about it. You know, he always seems to give 110% to everything that he does. And like, you know, I don't know if you saw his sit down on the Stone Cold Broken Skull Sessions on.
You know what? I have not watched that yet. It's on my list.
It is definitely worth a watch because he kind of starts talking about this character a little bit, in more so the paranoid like documentary type character, but he kind of does get into some of the stuff with the bloodline. And you know, it wasn't something that he necessarily like wanted to do and really like appealed to him at first, but then he's like, you know what, this is what they're giving me. I'm doing it 100%. And he's kind of starts talking about like, you know, his thought process and things going into it. And it just kind of gave me even though I already love Sami Zayn, it gave me more of an appreciation for just his wrestling mind and, you know, what he brings to the table. So, I love it. And I really did get the same vibe with him tonight. You know, it wasn't like that pesky Sami Zayn getting in the way of Drew. I felt the same way. He's like, you know, he's in there looking out for his tribal chief.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yep. And you know, if there's anybody who can bring it back, it's Sami Zayn. But like I said, like, you know, that sometimes those things have a weird way of turning into something bigger than expected. And there's no indication yet, but you know, the pieces are there. That's for sure. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Mizdow.
Right, exactly. You know? Right. Yeah. That's probably a better comparison at this point because you know, Daniel Bryan, that run was, you know, once one in a million. But you're right though. Like that's kind of formulated itself. It will be interesting to watch going forward. All right, a couple other things that I want to hit before we kind of wrap up the show here, and the first being Ronda Rousey starts the show, a unique way to start SmackDown and a WWE show in general. This is another one of those moments where I'm like, okay, is this a Triple H thing? Like, you know, it's hard to imagine a Vince McMahon show just starting with Ronda Rousey, a big time star like that, just walking out in front of the announce table and into the ring. So I really liked that setup because I think it felt like, you know, it felt
more
special.
It
felt more real. It felt like, oh man, I, you know, if they keep establishing this, it's like, oh, I don't want to miss the start of these shows because you know, anything can happen. So I like that. But then Rousey started talking and man, like, it's so awkward to watch her cut a promo because in some ways, Nate, like I can't look away, you know, but in other ways I'm like, this is just not good pro wrestling talking. And so it's something that she's yet to figure out how to balance. In the end, I thought, you know, they kind of pulled it off because the crowd was behind her. They were cheering as she beat up all those security guards. So I want to get your take just on the setup for that and then pivot to Rousey's actual performance. And then we'll kind of talk after that where you think this is all going.
Yeah. So in terms of the segment, I mean, I thought it was a good segment, you know, with the exception of, you know, her talking, but in terms of the setup, you know, her, coming out of the crowd, no music. We didn't get to hear music or anything tonight. I thought that was definitely something different. You know, you usually would, especially with somebody like Ronda, you want, you know, you think you would want that big pop, you know, you hear her music and then everybody's on their feet and she comes down to the ring. See, that's kind of your typical WWE like start to the show, unless you're going to start with a 12-minute Triple H promo or something. But, you know, that's going way back. But yeah, so like that's, I definitely give him credit for trying something different. Like I said, it felt more real, especially where, you know, she's supposedly suspended. So, you know, of course she's not going to come out from the back. I mean, why would the sound guy, you know, and put her music on? Because, you know, maybe he'll get in trouble. She's suspended. I don't know. So, you know, kind of makes sense. So I definitely give credit there. The crowd certainly seemed like they were behind her. I like the fact that she just kind of got in there and kicked ass and cleaned house. So that was cool. Her promos are, it's kind of like a train wreck. You just can't look away. You know, she's not, I don't think she's the worst promo that is in the company, probably by a long shot, but she's, it's just so bizarre, I guess. Her cadence is all off. You know, it's not like a wrestling, it's not a wrestling cadence, I guess is the best way I can describe it.
Right. Right.
You know, so it kind of, it doesn't flow like any other character. And I guess, you know, devil's advocate, it might sound more real to some people, but to me, it just kind of sounds cringeworthy is the best way I can describe it. You know, it's funny, you know, kind of going again, I don't know. I can't think of the segment, but it's the YouTube thing with Kevin Hart. He sits down with a whole bunch of celebrity friends in an ice bath and they sit there.
Oh,
and
yeah,
talk.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I can't think of what it's called, but he recently did one with Ronda Rousey and she one of the last things they talk about is cutting promos and she, you know, tells him she could kick his ass cutting a promo. And then she goes on to just cut this like screaming, angry promo at Kevin Hart. And I'm like, what are you doing? This is awful. But they're acting like it's the greatest thing in the world. And that's kind of how I feel like, you know, she feels about her promos. Like, I feel like she thinks she's doing a damn good job. Whereas I tend to disagree. It's just, it's awkward. It's awkward. Hey, anybody that can get out there in front of millions of people and cut a promo, I tip my hat to you. Cause that's nerve wracking, you know, but yeah, it definitely needs some work. Definitely needs some work.
Yeah, well said. The as far as where the story is going, like, do you have any indication like what WWE and what Paul Levesque wants to get out of this? Because I don't think that they've really established kind of what they want Ronda Rousey to be. Because on one hand, you had her kind of beat up Liv Morgan at SummerSlam. She beats up the referees. You know, that came across as heelish to me. And then tonight, you know, a couple weeks later, you know, Ronda against the establishment, you know, I think that's something that people are going to cheer, you know, and then she's beating up the security guards. Everybody cheers that always. So it's like she's kind of undefined, you know, heel or babyface right now. And sometimes that's okay. But with Liv Morgan as a for sure babyface, I think it behooves WWE to paint Rousey as a heel. Like if you think about the business that's on the table in front of her with Liv Morgan, and then even later down the line with Becky Lynch, it's like she should be a heel for that. And if that's what they're going for, tonight was a big swing and a miss. But given how they booked it tonight, I don't know that that's the goal. What's your take on kind of what the future looks like for Ronda Rousey here with this whole her against the establishment, her suspended storyline?
Yeah, it definitely felt like she was being painted as a face tonight. And, you know, as you said, kind of like her going up against the establishment, that's probably going to get cheered. I feel like anytime you've got somebody that's going up against, you know, the establishment, they wind up getting cheered. It's kind of WWE's trope to always try and I almost always feel like they're trying to redo, you know, Austin versus McMahon. Less so in recent years, especially, you know, with Adam Pearce coming out as your kind of like management's talking head or whatever. But you know, that's kind of what I got tonight too. Is it just kind of felt like, you know, Ronda versus management, and of course that's kind of who you're going to get behind. I mean, who doesn't want to get, you know, who doesn't want to stick it to their manager, you know?
Right.
My manager's a nice guy. I like Tony. But that's beside the point. So yeah, you know, it definitely feels like that. I don't know what the direction necessarily is for her. I mean, against Liv Morgan, it definitely feels like she needs to lean heel. I feel like if with the current booking and it's almost like they're trying to make her like a tweener where she could potentially lean heel against Liv Morgan, but then if she went against Becky Lynch, maybe position her as a face, because especially with Becky Lynch, you know, her current incarnation of her characters, you know, leans heel. And I feel like it would be tough, but I feel like Becky could probably do it to get the fans against her and in Ronda's corner. It would be hard. I don't think it would be a surefire plan, but I think it's doable. But it's it is. It's a little up in the air right now. You know, one of the things, and I actually meant to bring this up when we were talking with Kyle a bit ago, but the biggest variable in all of WWE now is we're not looking through the lens of Vince McMahon anymore. And that's been such a weird thing with trying to, you know, do what we do and kind of analyze wrestling and especially with the WWE, because I've always had to think, what would Vince think, you know? And now that's not there. You know, my vision of wrestling, I feel like, is a lot more aligned with what Triple H's vision of wrestling is. And that's why, I mean, that's one of the reasons that I was really, really, really drawn to NXT and the Black and Gold brand when he was down there and, you know, doing everything he was doing with, you know, TakeOver era, Gargano and Ciampa and all of that. So I'm really excited about what's coming down the line for the WWE, because, you know, it's now in Triple H's like control and his creative control here. But that is the biggest variable, is like, now we don't have to think of in those constraints of Vince McMahon's brain and his idiosyncrasies and, you know, the things that he likes and doesn't like, and what's a burrito, you know? So, you know, so that's kind of like where I'm at with that. It's going to be interesting trying to figure out the direction of a lot of things going forward. At least for me anyway, because, you know, we kind of have to think a little bit differently now of where the direction of the company is going to go and how they're going to kind of book everybody. So kind of a bit more of a blanket answer there for me, but that's kind of where I'm at with a lot of things right now.
No, it's a good point. I mean, yeah, we don't have enough of a, you know, kind of a proof of concept from Paul Levesque as to what he thinks, you know, and we'll see soon enough, but it does make these things, you know, a little bit more interesting. And, you know, even like I said, little things like, hey, just starting the show this way, it's like, that's a noticeable difference. And I think those things add up, you know, long-term and, you know, more to come. Nate, great conversation. Is there anything else in your notes on tonight's show? I think we hit pretty much everything that I've got here. Anything that you want to wrap up with?
Well, I accidentally closed out of my notes about 20 minutes ago. So if there was anything else in there, I don't know. But no, I think we hit just about everything. I think we hit just about everything.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks to all of our callers. Really appreciate it. Great stuff as usual. Nate, always a pleasure, man, to talk wrestling with you. You know, you hold down the NXT fort at the Torch, and you guys do a great job. Talk about the show. And then you also kind of mentioned earlier that, hey, there's a kind of little hints of maybe, like, you know, some NXT Black and Gold creeping its way into the product now. Give a quick snapshot into what you meant by that.
Yeah, sure. So real quick, I am one of the co-hosts of PWT Talks NXT in the Daily Cast lineup. So just search for PW Torch Daily Cast in whatever podcast app you want to use. And, you know, you'll find the feed. We usually come up on Wednesday afternoons for the recorded show. But if you want to join us live, you can do it in a very similar format to this show where we take your calls. So about 20 minutes after NXT goes off the air, we'll usually go live. You can call us at 515-605-9345 or get your emails into pwtorchnxt@gmail.com and be a part of our show over there. Get to be part of the conversation with NXT. And I also do the hits and misses for NXT, which I try to get up on pwtorch.com right before we go on air for PWT Talks NXT. So you can kind of get my thoughts of, you know, what hit or what missed or what might have been, you know, lukewarm in the middle for all the different segments on NXT. But when I started, you know, saying a little bit of, you know, shades of Black and Gold, I'm really, really talking more the pacing of the show. Mm-hmm. The first NXT that was back, you know, kind of under the Triple H banner, if you will, was I think we had matches that night. It was very fast paced. There was a lot of different segments, a lot of moving parts. And it's kind of, last week seemed a little bit slower paced, but it was still much faster paced than NXT 2.0 has been in the past. So that's kind of really the biggest change we've seen so far down there. Also, you know, some emphasis, you know, on some of his guys, you know, like Santos Escobar, things like that. But the pacing right now, for me is great. I like that more fast paced style down in NXT. I'm a self-proclaimed ADD kid, you know, so maybe the shorter segments like just grip my attention a bit more than some of the longer segments did. That's my working theory anyway. I know Kelly and Bruce, you know, my co-hosts on PWT Talks NXT, they're not as favorable as with the faster paced booking down in NXT, but they also admit that since they write the recap for NXT, that maybe they're a little bit biased because now it's tougher to recap the show.
yes.
But I think overall it's going to be I think it's a good thing for NXT. Now, the big question is this going to stay a developmental brand, or is Triple H going to try and reenact his vision for what NXT Black and Gold was as kind of like a third brand for NXT, or sorry, for WWE. And with NXT Europe being announced and kind of NXT UK potentially being absorbed into that, I'm still not 100% sure how that's all going to work. That's, you know, kind of getting me to think maybe he's trying to make it more of a global brand again. You know, I know it was probably about 2.5-3 years ago at this point, you know, he was talking about opening up an NXT Europe and Africa and Asia. And I think in every continent he wanted, you know, NXT camps and things like, and shows and rosters. So this kind of feels like he's getting back to that. So it's going to be really interesting over the next, I'm going to say like 6 months, to see what he does with the NXT product and if it legitimately stays a developmental product, which I think there's a lot of benefit to keeping it a developmental product. But at the same time, I also think there might be some benefit for kind of going back to that wrestling centric show, kind of that, because it was like an alternative show from Raw and SmackDown for so long. It wasn't like a variety show like Raw and SmackDown kind of are. And it was really that wrestling fan, like the show that the wrestling fan would latch onto. So I'm curious to see if we kind of wind up back there or if it continues on developmental. But whichever way it goes, it's certainly going to be an interesting ride.
There you go, folks. That is a taste of what you get on the PW Torch Daily Cast, PWT Talks NXT, that type of analysis. Great stuff, Nate. Again, thanks for joining me. Always
yeah,
a blast
no problem.
To have you on the show. I'm PW Torch assistant editor Zach Haydorn. You can go VIP, check out my weekly audio show on the Canvas that talks about, it's a show that's rooted in the art of wrestling. So we kind of take a weekly current event and just talk just the art performance of it. We break that down. It's been on a couple week hiatus due to a positive COVID case on my end, but we'll be back this week, and so I'm excited to bring that back. Make sure you're following the brand on social media at PW Torch on Twitter, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got some really cool stuff going up on the YouTube channel now. Myself, Tyler Sage, Robert Vallejos, Wade, just a lot of different contributors here and there on the YouTube channel. We just had a really cool episode of our flagship YouTube show, The Fireside Chat, yesterday, talking about CM Punk and AEW and Jon Moxley versus CM Punk next week on the show. Got heavy into that, as well as a creative WWE discussion, like kind of analyzing the changes that we've seen since Triple H has taken over. So you can check that out. Also yesterday, I posted a really cool interview with Giselle Shaw from Impact Wrestling. Fascinating stuff. She goes in depth about her time at Storm Wrestling Academy and what it was like to train with Lance Storm. Just a really cool part of the interview. It's not long, but give it a shot. I think you'll be happy that you did. Like the videos, subscribe to the channel. That would be that'd be a big help, and we certainly appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at ZHaydornTorch. Nate, how can people follow you on social media?
You can find me at Nate Lindberg on Twitter. That's where I do the majority of my wrestling my wrestling posting.
There you go, fantastic. Nate, thanks once again to our listeners, to our callers. Thank you once again for Nate. I'm Zach, and we'll catch you guys next time.